project, it appears that is very attractive and very fine and very good, or there can be something that is very unpleasant, or there could be an enemy and a little friend and so forth. And these are merely delusive concepts or the products of our conceptualizing mind.
Recognizing
that we take them into existence. However, when we wake up from the dream, none of those things that we took to be truly existent are there. So we fooled ourselves in the dream, so to speak, with our own concepts. And this is what we do during the daytime as well. We are taken in by our own delusive conceptualizing mind, and we don't see the
Tēn lōpa tēn tē kāpsu lōpa chōnyi xē yirē rāngka nām tō kā dēmbar xēmbar lā tēn lōpa rē mā tō yōr tē sō nā tōng jōpa jōma tāwa xī nā tēn lōpa yō mā rē tēng ēn zēn jē trō tāng chū jē trō tāng tēng ēn zēn gōmba trō sō jā kare
So these things that tend to be misleading, these objects that we are misleading because they're objects that we take to be truly existent. So we misunderstand them. It's a misprision there that's happening. And so if we recognize that these appearances are mere appearances, are illusion-like, are emptiness and awareness inseparable, then we're not being deluded by these outer objects. And they actually then become a fuel for our practice of samadhi. They become an assistant or an aid for our practice of samadhi.
Tene nor tang zhe je loba te nor long jo ha chan khenpo chin sukpo chin na rang ke yang po long jo mani. Yin orpo so la jimba tang mani. Yozil ten de tso sa mani na sa na tene yoma rani heba kapso pendo yoma re loba re tene nor long jo te so mata pata joma malam tabar heba goni tene ranga long che yin orpo la jimba tang chu je tong che de pe ju tang yin la pembe che de pe ju tang na nor je loga mare nor je rangda yin la pengare tete chikpan rao yore
A similar situation, for example, in the fourth verse, it says, wealth and material goods also tend to mislead you. And one can be misled by them, not only by taking them to be, by taking them to be truly existent. And it's also often the case that one doesn't even know how to use these material goods and wealth and resources one has, one doesn't know how to use it well to benefit oneself, and one doesn't further use it to benefit others through making offerings to the poor, through using it to help the Dharma and spread the teachings and so forth. And so if this is the case, when one dies, it's not helpful. It's just been something that's distracted us or been misleading. However, if we recognize that this wealth is something impermanent and it's not truly existent but illusion-like, then we can use it to benefit ourselves and also to benefit others.
Then I will. Dusum zonje donje jungo, ridon jungro jumsu chopta, tsume bade lama dambe, chopje do jama me bala sansa jinja sin. Jevane tsera damje donrava me barji su zongdo su. Kanshik thoma unta me je sanje nira nam san. Sanje nene mato to sanjini dakpe lantong. Chenzi rado dorjin chon non donga nyugo junze na zo ta dabji go te zon zi kwan jingze de la. Kanji mi mi yu mi yu mi ma yin yu mi le jin don kakbar mi nungi zik don da so so rang giri kyo. Timi yi shi wazir nang di mikpa kwan lan chak pat. Dang dang rab rab nam par jom zi tam ju nye ma de la. Simde rang shi wazir ve nan nye mo ngo wo mi zik. Kandang ro ken tang min da shi yang da do nan tam chan. Zubi san chi chi chu zi pa tri pa me pe lo nga wo.
Before listening to the teachings, please give rise to the motivation of bodhicitta, which is that for sentient beings as vast in number as the sky is limitless in its extent, that one will practice listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teachings in order to come to the level of Buddhahood, which abides in neither extreme of samsaric existence or nirvanic peace.
Tene talam dode gongpa ngender le, tene gongpa ngender la lewe choye re, lewe choye kaapso tene maangchewa la gote tsiklok re, njok la tsikche kakhe ye re, ti nangni tsikche kakhe cheche ge. Kanyi sena sanje je song tsaban rawo te,
So this morning, we'll be looking at some verses from the Sambhi Nyamochana Sutra. And this is a famous sutra of the Buddhas. It has 10 different chapters, and the first part of the chapters are in prose, and then that is summarized at the end of the chapter in verse. So we'll be looking at some of these verses this morning. It's and why is that? Because it's also good for us to be familiar with the sutras as well as the commentaries that we tend to study usually. And it would be also good to understand the relationship between the Vajra songs, the Doha of Milarepa, and the sutras to see how the views are in harmony. Verses or the writings of the scholars and the songs of the siddhas need to be in accord with either a sutra or the tantras. And if they're not, then one doesn't accept them.
This is a time. I'm going to talk about the Dalai Yang. I'm going to talk about the Dalai Yang. Sanju Sampa Gongba Nepan Drevala, Treva Hupe, Tiki Tere.
The first chapter in the Samdhi Nimochana is a question, is a reply to a question asked by a bodhisattva to the bodhisattva Gambhi Artha Samdhi Nimochana. And his name, the last part of his name, of course, is the same name as the sutra. The sutra was named after him. And the first part of his name, Gambhi Artha, means the very profound ultimate meaning. So this points to the fact that he was very skilled in answering and asking questions.
Tene sanju sempa gongpa ngende je lewen de ye kap so dan dan den ba am don samo am dan dan den ban thar tok ba te sipe lo yu jo yor ma yin ba dang tene jo de me ba dang ni me ba la so ba ni len de ba zung zi ni len de ba la so ba tene ja chen bu song ba re chik lo ka kap so.
In the prose section of this first chapter, there is a discussion, an extensive discussion of ultimate reality. And the three major points that are made is that this ultimate reality is not the object or not the realm of experience for immature human beings. That's the first main point. The second is that it is inexpressible, can't be brought into words. And thirdly, that it is non-dual, that it transcends any kind of duality. So the last verse could be translated in the following way. There are four lines. The conquerors taught that the profound, that's the first line. And the second, inexpressible, comma, and non-dual, is not the domain of the immature.
That's
right. My name is Kali Kali Shubhira.
Oh, yeah.
In the third line, but immature ones obscured by ignorance and the fourth, delight in elaborations of speech and abide in duality. So the conquerors taught that the profound, inexpressible, and non-dual is not the domain of the immature or the realm of experience of the immature, but immature ones obscured by ignorance, delight in elaborations of speech, and abide in duality.
Tene samo de kare sena don tambe denba re. Ta nangbe lo lo chu tamche kunzob tang tondan denba nyesun duba re. Don tambe denba te, tene hindu samo tang, hindu tramo tang, hindu tokpar kawa yinba sena,
so profound, what does that point to? That of course, points to ultimate reality. And within the Buddhist teachings, all phenomena can be divided into phenomena that belong to a parent and that those that belong to ultimate reality. And here we're looking, what's being pointed to is the phenomena of ultimate reality. And that is very profound, very subtle, and very difficult to realize.
Tene sepa tele yang sepa yeba somre lo gepa tang yonala tupe sepa tenjik tenje tene sepa pogare kelona tupe sepa ten kepa la gemba ndawo se lumbo la sepa ndawo yabare ten kepa ta lumbo la tupe sepa re pakji la tupe sepa te pakpa Don't dump a damp on one from the top and pack but on Pama Nam Gambana. Then he so suited well as a band of Yapar and the gay unit to be sipa, Kelona to be sipa, Pakila to be sipa, some genani, this a band there, then him Pakila to be sipare, sipa so suited well, Tombani, don't dump a damp on Tombani one from the Mato Pe, sipa so suited well a cocoa.
There, one can discuss three different ways of describing what is immature. First is the worldly level of what is mature or immature. And there, of course, we talk about adolescents as being immature and adults as being mature, hopefully. Then the next division is between those that are skilled or experts and those that are foolish or stupid. So that's another way. The immature would be the ones that are still ignorant, and the opposite of that would be those that are skilled or wiser. And the third way of looking at this is those that are noble and those that are ordinary. So the noble ones then refer to those who have attained the first bodhisattva level, those who have seen emptiness directly or realized emptiness directly. And the ordinary individual is the one who has not. So this the noble individual then is a male or a female bodhisattva, and that is juxtaposed to the ordinary individual. So here, which one of these three are we speaking about? And we're speaking about the third one. So when we speak of the immature here, it's not the domain of the immature. That means this is not the domain of ordinary individuals, of those who have not realized the true nature of the mind.
Then, Papa Dam Pama Namje, Bemba Nila Tatorte, Papa Namje, Kunzo, 10 day, and now one day, Juchin, and the Tots and Janawa, Joman Tavo, Mulam Tavo, Choda Tavo, Jaton Tavo, Lunin Tavor Tavare.
How is it then that the noble ones view or understand apparent reality, and they see all the appearances of this life to be appearances that come through the gathering together of various interdependent causes and conditions? And because of that, these appearances are illusion-like or dream-like. They're like a rainbow or like a film or a cinema or like the reflection of the moon in water.
Then it said the Malam source of Tatsur Teyang, Mubba Sepa Tsang Mayimba, Mune Pakpa namla mala ngo shi na, ma chu mala ngo shi na, ngo shi pe nyam nyong yo ba te na yin. Mala ngo shi pe nyam nyong shu ma te na yin. Tene, tanda joma malam tabu ta sorte, mune je joma malam tabu tene ngishi. Ngishi am yichi tenbo yo bari no, pakpa namla.
And this seeing of this life, the appearances of this life as being dreamlike, is not something that's just some kind of wishful thinking, but one has actually recognized the appearances to be like this. One has had the actual experience that things are like this. It's similar to recognizing that one is dreaming while one's dreaming. There's an actual experience there that gives one confidence and conviction that this is the way things are.
Tene yang tatsor te papa nam che tatsor te lo ni jek su rong wa lo ni la mo gen pa ka tatsor da wo. Tene se pa ka tatsor te puk ka jek su rong wa लोनी ला ताचन रावो ओयंग यो बरे तो ते करे सना मो गेंबा सुन जिक सुरो मे लोनी ला ngने जिकटा चेग मारे जिकटा कना वयो ने पुग छो ते ने ngने जिकटा चेग रे देन बारे सम करे देन दावो यंग यो बरे ते ने गोंबो लड्रोप जे काप सो लोनी यो मारे मेलोंग ग सुनी ला पापा नाम जे ताचर ते Tanda Mogamba can me longer zony in Tongwatang. Sipa nam jet tassort the Pugu can me longer zony in la tassort the Chipare songdo. Songbar songbare te dang, Tanda loni yere, loni latinin tanda. Tang mini keja hepatang, sorva donga, de dog sorva yobanda wong is the embassena, ting sang loni the other. Zuni te zog and mini zog to one mato keja hemudo. Me longer zony. Tanda Luni, the Zoka Kaja here, the Ningwene, the dog of Sora Yobandavo, Jigs of Yomandavo.
Dundrupki, Shepatana, Tene Melongi,
Melonga Zuni,
Lugudi, and his Demba Shemba Drago, Demba Chiba di Zugni di la Demba Shemba
de Sosichevitazo. Mogambe Tazo, then Pako Tazo, and Jabare.
No, so
Mogamba took a town. Nang zang le ma dong ne den ba xing ge ma le pa pa nang je nang zang le den ba xing ge ma
le
me long ge zong ni la bu ge zu den ba xing ge de se pe ta zo se pe le ja ge sa po le song a
na le na
te je ran zik zi po zo ya
one way of a metaphor that one can use to describe the differences in these two ways of seeing is if one thinks about an older person looking at a movie and a very young child without much experience looking at a movie. So if it's a monster flick and a child is looking at it, they think, oh, these monsters are real, and there's a definite fear, they're really scared. Whereas an older person will know that this is just a movie and that these monsters aren't real. And a similar example was given by Nagarjuna when he was discussing this, but since in his time they had no movies, he used the example of the mirror. And again, when an immature person, or say someone who's never seen a mirror before, sees an image in the mirror, they will take that to be truly existent. Whereas an older or experienced person, someone who knows what a mirror is, will know that the image in the mirror is not something that actually exists. So there are these two kinds of differences. And Rinpoche thinks actually the example of the movie that we have today is better because the reflection in the mirror doesn't talk. There's no sound. There's just pictures. It's a silent movie. So whereas today we have the full both sound and image, moving image on top of it. So.
ते मम्मा लोर्जी चेयो बरे साचा साचा पेंट ते साचा लेखे ला लोर्जी चेरे ते दोई नाने सरे तने सिंगे ला गाजा चेंबु येरे ते निमा चिकला कोरां सिंगे ते चो चो ठोंबा तिंग नंग बो चिंग थोंवा रे ते ले लोजी मंग बो ये रे थोंबा तिंग नंग बो तिने थों दे कोरां के जुंगी मा क्या वारे ते ने को कोंडो सा वारे को कोंडो सां क्या वाचे ते ने से मेने यं क्या वाचे वारे चोई ना रंग जुंगी क्या वाचे ते ने को के चेंबो जब दे मोटे सा दे दे मेने यं यं चोंडा जो वारे ते ने को कोंडो चेंबो लांग ने ते ने कोरंग जुंगी यं बाहा मागो मा चोंग क्या वारे चोई ना ने चोंग वारे ते ने को क्या सोंग लो जो वारे ते ने रावो ते सिंगे ते रंग जुंगी ते रंग जुंगी यं बाहा मागो कोंडो सा ने चोंग क्या वारे सिरुल यो यो मार ते क्या सोंग वारे ते ने रावो सिपा सोसी चेबी ताचोटे ते ने रावो रंग टुनन ल दें बर हिं दे ते ने दोंगा तंग कंगा यो ते ने रावो यंग रे ते लोजी चेयो वारे साचा लिखे ले ते लोजी ते दो ही ना ने ये सरे
There's a very famous text for Tibetans. It's called, I think it's translated as The Elegant Sayings into English of Sakya Pandita. And they're a wonderful sort of proverb-like verses. And there's a story, there's one of them relates the story, and Rinpoche thinks it's probably based on the sutra, about that tells the story of a lion who came down to the lake to get maybe a drink of water, and the lake it was not a lake, I'm sorry, it was an artesian well. Yeah, that's an important detail for what happens further along. So he came to this artesian well, which was, you know, quite a deep well that had a wall around it. And he looked over into the well, and he saw a lion in there. And this lion was looking back at him. And he said, "What's this lion doing here in my territory?" And he got very angry. And the other lion also got very angry.
And then
he climbed up on the edge, and he was ready to fight with this lion. And the other lion also hunched himself up and was ready to fight him. And so he jumped at that lion to eliminate him, and of course wound up drowning himself in the water. So, and this is what we do to ourselves, actually. We take the delusive reflections, the delusive appearances from our own mind, and cling to them as being truly existent, and through doing that, cause ourselves a great deal of suffering. So that's a good example for ordinary individuals, what they do.
Ta tuan tam je tok sor ten pak pa nam je tuan tam pa den pa te ji pa tsam dang. Ji pa tsam ma yin pa ngon sum tu tok pa re. Su su je wo nam je tuan tam tong pa nye je min ko ma nyong wa yang ma mbo ye re. Ko na yang ji pa ge tsor je tak je tang wa re ma to tene ngon sum tu tok yo ma re. Ji pa zo yo re.
Ordinary individuals do not directly realize the ultimate nature of the mind. They heard the name of it, they can reason about it using inference and so forth, but they don't directly realize it.
Pena sosi chevi tangpo tongpa nye je tuan da tu, lop yong se, te la sam de yang ni yang da tak ye tang de, ngi hi che wa tsam re ma to, tene tongpa nye je tong,
So an ordinary person would hear the name emptiness, would hear a definition of it, they would study about it, and then they would examine it and reflect upon it. But nevertheless, they wouldn't directly realize emptiness. It is taught that the true nature of all relative phenomena, all phenomena belonging to apparent reality, is emptiness. But this is very difficult for us to believe in. Most people don't believe in it and have lots of doubts, and not only that, they fear emptiness. So how do we work with this statement that the true nature of all phenomena is emptiness, or the true nature of all relative phenomena, or the true nature of whatever appears within this life that we are leading has the nature of emptiness? So first we hear or listen to explanations of how things actually are. And through reflecting upon it, our fears diminish. We get clearer about what it really is. And after a time, then our fears diminish and disappear, and we develop a real certainty about what it actually is. And we do that through reflecting on the various reasonings for why things are actually empty, and also through reflecting on the various examples that were given, such as the dream and illusions and so forth. So we're very fortunate in that we have many different examples that we can use to understand emptiness. These examples are examples of what are sometimes called empty forms or the reflections of emptiness. And so these we have in the world around us, and we can use them to deepen our understanding, to make it stable and firm. And they're the examples that you've heard again and again of the dream, of illusion, of movies or cinema, and so forth. There are various lists of them. Sometimes they're given as 8, sometimes they're 12. And they're all examples that point to the fact that things are not truly existent, that they are mere appearance. And so in reflecting upon these examples and integrating them into our thinking, our fear of emptiness diminishes and our conviction develops. It would be much more difficult for us to work with emptiness if we didn't have all of these examples around us. For example, if one were sick, if one had a very serious illness, we usually take our body to be truly existent, and therefore the illness that it has is truly existent, and the suffering that comes from that illness is truly existent. But if someone said to us, well, your body is not truly existent, it's empty, it's a reflection of emptiness, and this illness is not truly existent, and nor is the suffering that comes from it, it would be very difficult for someone to actually believe that, because they have the solid experience of this illness in their body and the suffering that comes from that. So if we, however, can explain the example of the dream, well, everybody's dreamed at one point or another, that's part of our experience as well. And if that example is given, the body is actually like the body that's appearing in a dream, and the illness is also like the illness of the body in the dream, and also the suffering that arises based on that illness is also dreamlike suffering. One has had the experience of dreams, and so one can reflect upon that. And if one has prajna, or well-developed intelligence or wisdom, one can use that then to analyze the situation further and progressively lead oneself into this understanding of the emptiness of all phenomena that arise, including the illness, of course.
Tene namkan ta meba la, tene kasakala yang ta meba, tene jiktenje kamda, nyeda zakar sagong yobe jiba zobre. Te ngon somdun tome ta la tente, mantong ba yang yobe jisupa bre. Tundu la jiba zekan.
One way of thinking that we use to develop certainty about Buddhist ideas is called inferential reasoning. And inferential reasoning works starting from something that we actually experience and extrapolating from that. So, for example, we look into space, we know that we have our own planet, for example, that our own planet is surrounded by an atmosphere and the sky and space and so forth. And so we look off into space, and especially before the satellites and the space probes, through inference, we say, well, this is the way it is on our planet, so there must be atmospheres and space around other planets and so forth. And so in this way, based, and we extrapolate that out into in infinity, or should we just say, well, space continues on and on. And in the same way then, we can take other experiences that we have directly and interpret out of them or extrapolate from them what situations must be beyond what we can actually experience.
Te yendo malamje malamje nama nam denpa tar nang na yang mene denpa madrope nyamnyong yopa rang la nyamnyong yopa la tin te tene yang ti tin de yang malam na yin denpa madrope jiba zo pe la tin de jiba zo.
And so we've had the experience of, or if we've had the experience of recognizing that we're dreaming and knowing that what appears in the dream is not something that's truly established, we've had this experience of then taking something to be truly existent and then seeing that it's not, or even waking up from a dream is a similar situation. And so we can also then through that come to understand that the appearances during the daytime, the outer appearances that we are seeing are also not truly existent.
Dona malan la so pe mangbola samna tene che de ding yin je namdo den thurpa yin ba tang namdo lan thurpa yo ba tang ken thurpa yo ba tang che par che de la den bar yin be tene donga na chokban de den bar yin be namdo thurpa la ten na songwa te ji ba zo yo.
And so reflecting upon the example of the dream, we can see that our conceptualizing mind has this tendency to grasp onto things as being truly existent, but that these are the delusions of our own mind that we're taking to be truly existent. And we can see how our mind's operating within the dream and extend that to see that that is actually the way our mind is operating during daytime as well as dream time. And that through clinging to these daytime appearances as being truly existent, we create suffering for ourselves.
Deje de tekpa lo chimbi lo la teni nyingje gomba yang jipa zo de gomgu yore. Rang la teni chende la denbar khenpa la tena donga madaba na cho yopa tang. Donga chimbo chungu kapzu zo mato pa kale kapo yopa te rang la ngun su nyam nyong yopa la tena rang donga ngun som to nyome ngun som to nyome jun sin te la tena yin sin chin nam la yang donga ngun som to yopa donga zoepar kaba yopa jiso pa te tene sem chin la nying chi gomba re yin sem chin su la donga kanda yo ha koko mato te yang jipa ka gomba re rang la donga chani me ne nying chi gom chi ka yoma re rang la donga chi ngun som chi nyam nyong yopa la tena te ta same thing je donga ngwe so nga so ma thong na yang zog thong do ma to donga thong ma do ma thong na yang donga rang na yi donga ye bar sam de te sa jo sa be nyi ge go ba re te yang ji pa ge go ne go ngo ye tam bo ji pa se je de ka de re no ta ko.
Also within the Mahayana we meditate on compassion for other beings through inference as well. In the following way, through grasping onto this life as being truly existent, we create various sufferings for ourselves, and we can experience tremendous suffering that's very difficult to bear. So we've had this direct experience of suffering within ourselves, and by extension, we know that other people have also experienced suffering and not only little suffering, but great suffering that's difficult to bear. If we hadn't had any suffering ourselves, we wouldn't know what others are going through, because Suffering, of course, is a mental thing. It's something that's experienced in the mind, and we can't see other people's mind. We can see their body, we can see their physical expressions, we can hear their speech, but we can't see their mind. So we can't know their mind. And we only know another's mind through inference from our own experience. So compassion for others then arises through knowing what suffering is like for us and extrapolating that out to other people.
Tanda machela donga chin ji simtin le nyin ji gom se na lamna tene cho donga kare se tege ma do ti jum sen kare se na rang la donga ji nyam nyung yo ba la tin de tene ma de ba re te ngo rang la donga ji ngo som ji nyam nyung yo ba la tin de tene donga chin ji simtin le nyin ji gom chi ba re Rangla donga tsani mena, donga chenji simji le nyingi gomse na, donga karre se donga tsani ha kogumare. Te nga tso la ngon samje nyamyong yoba la ten te, donga chenji simji le nyingi gomse bare.
Usually when we are taught that it's that we should meditate on compassion for sentient beings that are suffering, we're not asked, well, have you suffered? Because all of us have. And so, having had that direct experience ourselves, that allows us to have some kind of understanding of what other sentient beings are going through, and that then becomes a basis for our own practice of compassion.
Tene tekpa chenpo lo la nyingi gomba te ya tene thaye pe semchen tamche tunro tanche pe thaye pe semchen tamche la donga ye pe se na
In the Mahayana, it is said that a limitless number of sentient beings, including animals, are undergoing suffering. And therefore, we should have compassion for an infinite number of beings. So this is a way of understanding our inferential reasoning through our own experience.
Tena ta samo tongpa nye te sosu chevu, sepa sosu chevu ngane choyor mare to togo mare yina yang jipa ka goni tu, tangbo tu, tene samte jipa ka tsorje, tene lobjong zoko mare.
So like that, we're back to the text now. The profound is something that's not the domain of the immature or those who have not realized the nature of the mind. And because of that, the way that we can know what ultimate truth is through listening and reflecting and through using different kinds of inferential reasoning.
Jarve tin ze chang se ton tam den ba te jo de me ba tang ni ma yin ba san je je tin ze ba re this he na ta si pe chyo yor ma re
so why is the profound ultimate nature of the mind not the domain or the realm of experience of the immature and that is because the Buddha taught that it is inexpressible or ineffable, and that it is non-dual.
The Jodha may be Jumsen Karas and the Ton Tambet Demba Te Minglin Deba, Siglin Deba, Tani Tamche Lindebe, Senna, Tene Jodha may bare. Tundan Ranga Nelo, La Ming Yomare, Sig Yomare, Tani Madawak. Yomare Tani Tanji Lindeba Sena Mune Juda Mabare.
Terms and it transcends actually all kinds of verbal conventions, any kind of agreed on terminology or verbal conventions that one could think of. And another way of saying that is that the true nature of one's own mind transcends names, words, and verbal conventions.
conventions.
Kene don tamba jodh me ba ne lok de la de sem chin je tok pa che do yi che pa che do sob jong sa pa che do tene san je je thani menda wa na so song ba le chu don tamba den ba tong ba ni chu ji ying de yin ni de kona ni la so ba tene thani tha ye ba song ba le de thani tha ye ba de song jo ba de ngane Nelogla Ming Chik Yoba Yena Ming Chik Dama To Ming Mung Bo Ta To Go Mare Nelogla Ming Mepa Sena Dene Tanyi To Ming Nen Deba De Tokpa Che To Dene Ming Da Tanyi Ta Yeba Song Pare
This ultimate nature of the mind is inexpressible and yet there are lots of expressions for it. The Buddha in order to teach sentient beings, to bring them to realization, gave them teachings and various ways of studying. And so in these teachings, there are many, many synonyms that are given for the nature of the mind. You've all heard many of them. It's called ultimate truth, emptiness, the Dharmadhatu, or the expanse of all events or phenomena. It's called suchness, or the actual nature. There are many, many different names that are given to it. And this is possible because actually it has no name. If there was one name that could express it, then that's all you could use. It would just be whatever that is, whatever that name would be. But since it's not possible to express it with a name, then there are many different names that you can use, and they're all different perspectives onto the same reality.
คุณจบดันตันดัมนี่ลาซอมโมวะทาเตปาซอซอนามคาตังซานดาวนามคากะเรซะเตยาตงบาเตซากะเรซะเตซะกงเตยานโดเตนดาวเมงซอซอโมวะซอซอเตนดาวมาเรเมงดาทานิซอซอยินายงโวละเยนเมปางโวละเยนเมปาเรเปนนัมมะลัมเจนนาวะนาซอกปา ခဲရပါတေတံမလံကျနာဝနာစောပါတေရံကငိုးမာတော့ပညိလားခဲပါရောမာတယ်နာတော့ရေမဲတယ်တင်းတော့ကွန်ဇော့တန်တန်တန်ညိချက်တန်ထညိဆိုဆိုရင်းနယံချက်တန်ထညိဆိုဆိုရင်ကြည့်လကွန်ဇော့စီကြည့်လတုံးတန်ဒင်းစေကတော့ကြည့်လဇွမ်ဘထညိရပါတယ်ချက်ဆိုဆိုရတယ်နမ်တော့လယံဆိုဆိုရခဲရင်းနယံနေလောက်လညိမဲပါတယ်မလံတော့
We use the words apparent reality and ultimate reality, and usually we tend to think of them as two different things. For example, ultimate reality, something like the sky and space, and apparent reality is the earth or down here where we are or something. We tend to make these kinds of dualistic distinctions, and that's only when we are talking about things, when we put them into words, but the actual nature of apparent reality and ultimate reality are not two. The names are different. The concepts, the way they appear to our conceptualizing mind, is different. But their essential nature is inseparable. And if, again, we reflect on the dream context, in the dream there are various appearances that arise, but whatever appears in the dream does not take on existence through having some kind of an essence, some kind of a solid, permanent essence. And because they are alike in this, that they don't have this essence, that's another way of understanding that although phenomena appear as something different, like in a dream with all these various phenomena that are arising, actually, if you look into the true nature of those phenomena, you'll discover that that true nature is the same for them. It's not different. So one often finds the statement that things have the same essential nature, but there are different, they appear on a relative level as two different things. So if we, if someone were looking at us here, they would see a room, have some empty space in it, there'd be pillars, there would be people looking at each other and listening to a talk. And this is the way things appear. It's the mode of appearing of various phenomena. And that is called apparent reality or relative truth. And that is something that is true for conceptualizing mind. From the perspective of conceptualizing mind, apparent reality exists. But this is not the case for the true nature of the mind. The way things appear then is termed apparent reality. And why is that? Well, for example, if we take a form, or say our body, made up of the four different elements and of atoms, and if we analyze these atoms or particles down into their most subtle level, we come to see that they actually don't exist. So this appearance is a false appearance of the form. It seems to exist. We look at it and it seems to exist, but it doesn't truly exist. So it's called apparent or seeming reality. It appears as if existent, but it actually is not. Another way of understanding how our mind assumes so many things, makes entities to exist where they don't, is also listening to sound. And if you have the sound emptiness, for example. It's the same, it has three syllables in Tibetan, tongpa ni. So emptiness, if you listen, if you think about the process of hearing these sounds, when you say em, the T part is not existent yet, right? So you say it's a linear progression. Emptiness. No? So when you say M, the T and the Ness have not arisen. And when you say the T, the M has disappeared. And the Ness is not yet there. And then when you say the Ness, of course, the M and the T have disappeared already. So none of those three actually appear at the same time. And yet our mind pulls them all together and makes what it considers to be a truly existent word, emptiness.
Then rāvā tēne ngā chō samnā tāndō ngā rāng sō ngā rāng lā ngā rāng sāmudō ngā rāng sē chitā yīgī ngā rāng kīpā tsik pēyā mēvā rē kāngī sō na ngā rāng ngā ngā rāng yī sāndō ngā rāng sē chitā yīgī nī rī yīgī chī nī tēyā nyābō mādō ngā tā rāng yī pātā lā chē na sō sō rē ngā rāng kī yīgī chīk mādō dhā yāng ngā rāng sē tū ngā rōg dō nam dō lā ngā rāng sā mūdō ngā rāng sā mūdō yīgī tēng na sō sō chā yī rē tē sē na tēne ngā rāng sē chī tē yāng mā rō parē ngā chū samyā tē ngā rāng sā mūdō gā dō ina ngā rāng kī pē mē yāng mā rō parē tēne dā yī yāng mā rō parē
mēng dē
mēng tāng cik
ミンダセジ。なりとんぱにドラブレ。テネディドライアンガドギド。ドライアンガド。テンパテンパメバ。レレドライアンガドとイゲヤンソソレ。テネナランヒペメンテヤマドブレ。テネダイゲヤンマドブレ。メンマドバハコユ。テネメンマドバカイナダジヤンマド。テネメンダビゲテカレラタドテナ。
ならんて、ルータン、セムソレ、タケタンで、まどばら。で、ダメ、テンベコ。ヘパマンヒテテレヨレタ。テンカザガダメ。キヤレ。ロバ。ウェ、チペナ、チクソキタワドボ。レレ、ポンポンガ。ポンポンガダダマドボ、ソレ、チギラバ。ナニンソンソン。レレ、ナニンキヨレ。ナニンキエソ。タロチン。
We can also apply this a similar kind of thinking to the thought of self. We usually say in Tibetan it's two syllables, ngaran, or in English you could say myself. And again, these two never really appear at the same time. We say my and the self's not yet there. When we come to self, the my has disappeared. So that way we can understand that the word doesn't exist. It never appears as a whole word at the same time. And not only that, the word is not something that's permanent. It arises and ceases. We say the word and it's gone. So from that perspective, then we see that the word for self doesn't exist, myself, ultimately. And then if we look at the basis of imputation for that word, which is either, which is usually one of the five skandhas, and if we analyze those, we can see that they also don't exist. So both the basis of imputation doesn't exist and the word doesn't exist either.
Tundam se jete kunzo la matu pache jodh meba mayimba kunzo je chu tamche je nelok jodh meba re ta. Nga sor chanda namdo la tu te jodh yo na ya nelok ngane te jodh meba re.
Tundam
temba kunzo la tu. Kunzo so chik li ya. Kunzo jodh yo pa tundam jodh meba ra o ma re. Kunzob ju chu tamje, kunzob da namdo gongo la jodh yu na ya, kunzob ju chu tamje che nelok jodh me ba. Kunzob ju chu tamje che nelok te, tuandam re te jodh me ba. Tina ta tanda ngarang su, nansor de jodh yu re, nesor te tuandam re jodh me ba re. Tanda ngarang su nansor le jar sunga.
Nariya.
Marve.
So, it's not, however, that this... There are two separate things. One, apparent a reality that we can talk about and an ultimate reality that's unspeakable or inexpressible. But it's that the two are very close, are interrelated. The ultimate reality is the true nature of apparent reality. So if you look into apparent reality that's expressible, you can discover the ultimate reality that is inexpressible.
Maumbala tembe donga rere yungre, donga se lagundo. Ina ya donga te kunzo nansor je donga re, kunzo dembare. Namto untrupa ngola donga yobare. Namto untrupa latin ngala donga yo se donga mandaba na sopan dog samne tanyi zogundo te kunzo dembare. Tanda tembe wangda se na donga te madrupare. Jumsin karre. Donga hebe do ngar se du meyan nyabo mado donga je menchik mado dog ta ngar re ni donga mare nyabo mado meyan yang demba mado meyang demba meba te yendo donga dagbu ye te yang depa dong depa ta maum pa da ta da wa ta lu da sem ne che na maro bare ti se na donga je ne lok te ne jod me bare Nansor Jodo Yabate, Nasu Namdo Lutu, the Malam Nayin, Tor de Jabate. Take some. Te Yagre.
Often we think about suffering in terms of future times, and we think, oh, in the future, I'm going to get old and it's going to be hard, you know, Medicare won't support me and so forth. So, and this kind of mental projection that we do, this anticipation that we make with our minds, relates to apparent reality. That is the way things appear to us, and it appears to our conceptualizing mind that is deluded. And so we say to ourselves, well, I'm suffering. But if you think about, of course, the future situation, well, that future isn't here yet. Another way of dismantling this or unpacking it, as they say, is that one can look at the name and the basis of imputation for the name, suffering. So the name suffering, as we've seen before, can be divided into parts, which are not simultaneous. And the separate parts of the, like, suff is not suffering. You know, it's each part, or fur is not the whole thing, and ing is not the whole thing. So each the separate parts also don't constitute all of suffering. So the name doesn't exist in that sense. And then if you look for the basis of imputation for the name, well, the basis of imputation for something would have to exist within a particular time. If things have existence, they come into existence temporally. So then one analyzes the different times, past time, future time, present time, and analyzes the body and the mind in relation to these three different times. And through this process of analysis, one comes to find that they don't ultimately exist. And so one comes to the conclusion that the true nature of the mind is inexpressible. So that's been an explanation of why it is the true nature of the mind is inexpressible.
Tan nipa nimi re, nimi si je ta kar re, zung zin nimi pa. Malam je nama yin to, zung wa yor je nama nam, pakhyak gan trunang yin pa se na, pakhyak gan nama yin pa se na trunang re, malam yin to. Trunang yin pa se na, Tene sarur do, zongwa sarur do mado pare malam yin do. Zongwa sarur do malam yin do mado pese na, tele mekpe zimba yang mado pare. Zongwa denba trom na zimba yang denba trom pare. Zongwa denba mado pese na zimba yang mado pare. Malam yin do zongze yin yin de pare. Ta te yin do malam yin do, tene zongze yin yin so, kunzo do zongze yin yin so, nang yin tro na yang, Yang tapa malam yendo, zongze ni lende ba, zongze ni main ba, zongze ni lende ba te, tene sanje ji sumbare. Zobo zongze ni me ba te, semtang ji kaptang, yendong ge kapso, he tur te zongze ni me ba te, mangbu higre, zobo te semtang ji kapso, tene zongze ni me te, sarpo higre.
So now we come to the next attribute. We've looked at the profundity and we've looked at the inexpressibility, and now we look at the non-duality. And the best place to find explanations of the non-dual nature of the mind is in the Chittamatra or the mind-only school. One finds it also in the Shentong school, but the Chittamatras are the ones who are really focused on this, and you find the best explanations of the non-dual nature of the mind. So how do we understand this non-dual nature? Well, it means that there is ultimately no perceived object and no perceiving subject. So the duality, the basic duality is that of subject and object, and that ultimately does not exist. And again, we return to the dream example to understand the situation, the various appearances within the dream. We have the perceived objects, and the perceived objects within the dream arise from our delusive habitual patterns, or imprints, or predispositions. Because in a dream, of course, where else could they come from? The dream is our mental fabrication, so it comes from our own mental habitual patterns. And so, since these arise from our own habitual patterns, they are delusive and don't really exist outside. And once one's come to understand that these outer objects are not truly existent, then one can also understand that the subject that is perceiving the outer object also doesn't truly exist, because they are established in dependence on each other. They're like a pair. So if one half of the pair doesn't exist, the outer object, then you can't have then the other side of that, which is the perceiving subject. If something is a subject, it's a subject perceiving something. So by seeing that the object is the delusive appearance of one's own habitual patterns, then one can, by extension, one comes to see that the subject that's appearing within the dream context is also not truly existent. So, in the dream context then, perceiving subject and perceived object are transcended when one sees the true nature of that dream. And this is the way things are actually in our daytime perception. And so this is the way we can work with it, come to see that the outer object is not truly existent, and then turn around and see that the subject, looking inward, that subject that's perceiving the outer object is also not truly existent. And in this way, we come to see that on a relative level, the appearances of subject and object, that dualistic perception, is ultimately not existent.
Pakya kava yabare sena, pakya te Kovan Chamsi Che Keva Tantik Pe Pakhyare, Lej Pakhyare, Yaksa Te, Tene Sentan Che Log Ye Yaza Khe Na, Nam Chi Cho Cho, Gongan Nam Chi, Chokpa Ye Che Nam Chi, Gongan Nam Chi Chi Ji Chi Su Ye Che Nam Chi Che Gere, Chokpa Ye Che Nam Chi, Nyom Momba Chin Chi Ye, Kun Chi Nam Chi Te Nam Chi Cho Je Che Nam Ni, Kun Chi Nam Chi Te Ta Do Yoba Re, Te Se Na, Lej Pakhya Te Kun Chi Nam Chi Le Ya Te, Tene Pakhya Gyakpa Re, Pakhya Gyakpa Kha Cha Ni Lempa Nambar Chi Ba Se, Pakhya Te Yen Trunang Kha Rumpa Kaap So, Trunang Te Jam Chui Balavi Nang Yin Yobar Chi Ba Re, Tene Chin Chi Nambar Chi Ba Se Ba Re. Dor Dona Ta Kun Chi Nam Chi La, Pakhya Na To Ya Te, Pakhya Gan Trunang Kha Ba Re.
So we said that the object arises in our mind from the awakening of various habitual patterns or predispositions, imprints. And where is it that these bhakshaks, these habitual patterns are stored? Where is it that they are kept? And within the traditions that assert the eight different kinds of consciousness, it's said that they are kept within the eighth consciousness, or the alaya vijnana. There are the five of these eight sense faculties. There are five that relate to the five different sense faculties, the sixth being the mental faculty, the seventh, the klesha vijnana, or the consciousness of afflicting emotions. And then the eighth is the all-basis consciousness. Sometimes it's called the store consciousness, the alaya vijnana. And that always exists. And so our karma, which is just consists of these various habitual patterns, our karmic habitual patterns are settled into the all-basis consciousness. And from that perspective, it's called the consciousness that takes on things, or that accepts things. And then it is also out of this all-basis consciousness that the various habitual patterns arise. And that is like the ocean being moved by winds and the waves arising. So these arisings of the waves are like the habitual patterns coming to life or maturing. And from that perspective, it's called the consciousness of conditions, because it creates the conditions. So the all-basis consciousness then has this dual function of being the place where various habitual patterns are stored, are kept, and that's why it's sometimes called the storehouse consciousness. And the second function of tossing these habitual patterns up again, of giving rise to them again when the right causes and conditions are present.
Jarbe tin ze chang. Te tab jude me ba tang ni main ba. Ni lende ba te jarba jogba sanje nam je tembar ze chang. Tin yang. Sepa tomong mong ba dadane. Sepa sosu chevo. Ton tambe demba. La mong be tomong mong ba dadane. De nam ne. Ma ba tru la gahi ni lene. Sepa nam. Ma ba tru ba la gawa. Jueze ton tambe denba mato de mabu trupa la gaihen. Ni la ne se de zungze ni la ne hen. Zungze ni nang lan tor de gere sombat.
So the conquerors have taught that, the conquerors, another name for the Buddhas, of course, have taught that the profound, inexpressible, and non-dual is the true nature of the mind. But immature ones are obscured by ignorance. And obscured here means befogged. Literally, the word for fog in Tibetan means obscured. So one's fogged over, one's mind is befogged. And what is one befogged about? One is befogged about the ultimate nature of phenomena, the ultimate nature of reality. And so, because of that, immature beings delight in elaborations of speech. So they get all caught up in the words and talking about things. And they abide in duality, meaning that they are caught by the delusion of perceiving subject and perceived object, or dualistic perception. So your homework for this afternoon is to discover in the songs of Milarepa, for which we receive the reading transmissions in the smaller book, how many of those songs are in accord with this verse here from the Samdhi Nirmochana Sutra. So this is, we've looked at this morning then the verse that Gambhirta Samdhi Nirmochana spoke in response to a question. So we'll chant this once together.
Three.
If you didn't write it down, maybe you can look on with a neighbor.
So
So rest now evenly within the nature of the mind that is profound, inexpressible, and non-dual. So we'll close with the prayer of solemn commitment.
The next session we'll look at the second chapter, which is the verse that the Buddha taught to Dhammapada.